One of the little-noticed headlines from the Trump administration last week was a reversal of an Obama directive to end the use of private prisons. For-profit prisons are a $5 billion industry, and critics say they lack transparency, accountability, and have no incentives to reduce recidivism. The Obama administration said private prisons aren't as safe as government-run facilities. Nonetheless, the Trump administration has reversed the order, which means the federal government will continue to use them. Joining us now is Lauren Brooke Eisen, who is senior counsel at the Brennan Center for Justice. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you so much for having me.
And first of all, what do you think of this reversal from the Trump administration?
Well, it is an interesting reversal, but it's one that a lot of analysts and people who cover the industry had predicted would happen. Interestingly enough, with the Attorney General Sessions' guidance to the Bureau of Prisons last week, it was a very short memo. Attorney General Sessions gave very little explanation as to why they were reversing course on this guidance.
Well, so you say it's not a surprise. Why isn't it a surprise? Why does the Trump administration want to use more private prisons?
Well, the new administration has called for a crackdown on what they falsely see as a rise in crime. And, you know, this is sort of a harbinger of things to come. It's an indication that Attorney General Sessions and the administration might be concerned about running out of available bed space in the Federal Bureau of Prisons facilities. One of the reasons why, and one of the most compelling reasons that the Obama administration decided to start to phase out its reliance on these private prisons is because the BOP population had started to decline.
The BOP, the Bureau of Prisons. So these are the
yes,
government-run prisons.
Exactly. So the number of people in federal prison has decreased over the last couple of years. And because of this decrease, the Justice Department decided that it didn't need to rely on these private prisons. And that makes sense. That's why one would contract with private prisons in the first place, is to provide this extra bed capacity. But when you no longer need that bed capacity, that's the time when you should start to phase out those contracts.
I also wonder how much of a lobbying effort there has been on the part of private prisons, because when the Obama directive came down, their stocks went down. And since Trump has been elected, their stocks have been going up. They must want more use of private prisons. Did they lobby effectively on their behalf?
Well, as of last Friday, the stocks of GEO Group and CoreCivic, the two largest private prison corporations in the United States, had seen a 100% increase in their stocks since the election. So we've seen a huge uptick in share prices. GEO Group and CoreCivic have each given about $250,000 to support Trump's inauguration events, and the GEO Group, through its own political action committee, had also given some funding to the campaign of Donald Trump as well.
How many inmates are currently serving time in private prisons?
So there are almost 190,000 inmates in federal prison today. But if we zoom out and look at the entire prison population of the United States, we have about 8% of the state and federal prison population behind bars in private prisons. So to break it down in terms of numbers, it's about 126,000 inmates that are held in private prison facilities. But that number is also a little bit conservative, because it doesn't account for the approximately 8,000 to 10,000 people who are held in private immigration detention facilities.
What's the difference in a cost per prisoner for the government at a federally owned prison versus a private prison?
So again, that it depends on how you look at the data. There's marginal costs and incremental costs. So when you look at the cost of a prison, it becomes a little bit complicated, because you're really only saving money when you close down a wing of a prison, close down a prison, or reduce the number of staff. And so federal prisons are usually a little bit more expensive than in state prisons, just because there tends to be a little bit more security. But again, those costs tend to be different from prison to prison.
And there's not a wild range between a private prison and a government-run prison?
There's not. And what happens is, if you're looking at a state contract, you know, the states basically pay the private prison operator to house the inmates, and it's all in the contract. Where it can get tricky and where a lot of people who sort of are adamant that private prisons shouldn't exist is, you know, these inherent conflicts of interests when the corporations are actually paid sort of a set amount no matter how many people are in their facilities. And so, you know, what that does is it ensures that the private prison operator is paid even if the prison is not full.
And are the people held in private prisons treated notably differently than people held in government-run prisons?
Well, that's an excellent question. And I'm writing a book on private prisons called Inside Private Prisons, and it's one of the questions that I explore in the book. It's a complicated question. The Inspector General's Office of the DOJ last August issued a report indicating that private prisons at the federal level simply do not provide the same level of correctional services, programs, and resources, and they do not maintain the same level of safety and security that government-run prisons do. Now, that's looking just at the federal level. There have also been a lot of lawsuits filed, a lot of allegations about what happens in private prisons at the state level. But that also happens in state-run prisons. There are, you know, Rikers Island is a jail in New York City, and that has certainly come under a lot of scrutiny for, you know, allegations of rape and sexual assault and, you know, unhygienic living conditions. So the point is that it's a very hard question to answer whether one is better off in a state-run prison or a privately run or operated prison. But at the end of the day, what we really need to look at is outcomes and how we can improve public and private prisons so that recidivism rates are reduced and so that we ensure that those who do spend their time behind bars in private prisons are being treated well, are receiving the same services, if not better services, than they would receive at a state-run prison. And so it's a little bit of a mixed bag. And what I found, you know, in my interviews with inmates is even those who had, you know, whose time behind bars in a private prison you know, might have been better than their time in a state prison. At the end of the day, most of them say, but when I think that someone's making money off of me, you know, that breaks my heart.
Well, who does a better job at making sure that inmates do not reoffend after they get out? Is it private prisons or the government-run facilities?
So the recidivism rate nationwide is pretty high. It's between 40 to 60%. So that indicates that the nation as a whole, public corrections are not doing a great job at making sure that the people who leave their prisons and jails are not returning. And that's something that corrections across the country needs to work on. And when we look at private prisons, the data is very, very difficult to come by because what happens in practicality is you might spend a year in a state prison. Then you might go to a private prison for 6 months or a year, and then you might finish out your programming or your reentry programming in a state-run facility before you're released. So it's very hard to track that recidivism data, but that's something that we as a country really need to get better at tracking.
Well, I know that Australia has used private prisons, but one of the things that they've done is incentivized those private prisons to keep prisoners from reoffending by offering a bonus to the companies that own the prisons if prisoners do not come out and reoffend. Does the U.S. do that?
That's something that's fairly new. So Australia, in fact, has two new private prison contracts where they incentivize a reduction in recidivism rates through bonuses paid to these companies. And those are very new contracts, so we don't know what the results are. But we've seen some positive results in the Peterborough prison in the UK and in halfway house contracts with the Department of Corrections in Pennsylvania, where Pennsylvania has provided bonuses to private halfway house providers who can reduce recidivism rates and beat the state's recidivism benchmark.
So as you look at what's now going to happen and an increase in the use of private prisons by the federal government, what would be the one piece of advice you would give the Trump administration as they move in this direction, which is different than what the Obama administration had hoped for?
I think that the Trump administration should look long and hard at at every prison they contract with and look at the record of that prison, look at the safety and security levels, look at the level of correctional services that they provided or didn't provide. Additionally, it's incredibly important that the federal government restructure these contracts to ensure that private prison operators are focusing on reducing recidivism, improving outcomes for the 2.3 million people who are incarcerated. It's really important that we restructure these contracts around the nation's public policy goals, which at the end of the day is to reduce recidivism and improve public safety.
That's Lauren Brooke Eisen, who is senior counsel at the Brennan Center for Justice, and her forthcoming book, which she mentioned, is called Inside Private Prisons. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.